Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Trent Green scheduled to call us in the next few minutes. We'll get him on the line and get his thoughts on the Redskins and the Vikings. Use this opportunity now, though, to update you on Redskins injuries. Your skinjury update right now, I would say, is productive, to be completely honest with you, based on where we've come from at this point. Still not ideal. So here's what we're dealing with at Redskins practice this week. The really bad news is that yesterday, Zach Brown did not practice with an ankle.
Alert.
He was full go on Wednesday. So this was an issue that took place in the last day. This was a setback. Jay Gruden said this was new. He really didn't have much information, other than that they were hoping Zach Brown was going to show up and feel a lot better and do something at practice today. If Zach Brown cannot practice today, there's a real good chance Zach Brown will not be able to play on Sunday. He is your best defensive player. He is leading the NFL in tackles. He has twice as many tackles as anyone else on the Redskins. He's coming off of his most impactful game as a blitzer downhill in the interior against Seattle. And he flies all over the place, and he might be the MVP of this team right now. He didn't practice yesterday. Neither did Niles Paul at tight end with his concussion. Trent Williams didn't go. He's probably out. Arthur Jones on the defensive line didn't practice. He's probably out. And Jay Gruden essentially ruled Matt Ioannidis out in his press conference yesterday as well. So it looks like those three guys will be down. Niles Paul, still a question mark, but unlikely to go. And the big one to monitor is Zach Brown. Let's get to the phones and welcome onto the show Trent Green, who is an analyst with CBS Sports, longtime NFL quarterback. We remember him from his time cutting his teeth in the NFL here in Washington. Trent, it's great to talk to you. Thanks so much for the time. I want to start with the debate on Thursday Night Football. Doug Baldwin last night said players should not be asked to play on Thursday nights, that needs to end. Some prominent agents have come out this morning, said the same after all the injuries. What's your take on Thursday Night Football? I mean, it's obviously expanded since you stopped playing.
It has expanded, and as you know, it all comes down to dollars and cents. If the players want to see Thursday night football go away, then they've got to give up some money, whether that be from a salary cap standpoint, whether they decide to all of a sudden extend the game to 17, 18 games. The owners aren't just going to give up that money. I mean, that's something that's, I think we can all agree on that they're not just going to give up that package. It has expanded. I remember towards the end of my career, that's when the Thursday games just started being a thing. There'd always been the Thanksgiving games, but I think they started doing some special Thursday games towards the end of my career. And then they've gradually built it up over the years. It started off about five or six games a season, and then now it's pretty much a 14, 15-game full slate of Thursday games. So I understand where the players are coming from, but they have to – next time the collective bargaining comes rolling around, you know, they've been complaining about the amount of power that Roger Goodell has, and they've also been complaining about Thursday night games. So if they want to get some of those things changed, then they have to understand they have to give up some things as well.
Trent, we were kicking this around earlier when we, you know, were teasing that you were coming on the show, and it occurred to me, just sort of thinking about some things, this current version of the Redskins offense, where they don't really have that much contribution from the outside, they're kind of afterthoughts, it's about tight end, running back kind of stuff, struck me as kind of a really poor man's version of what you guys were doing in Kansas City when Tony Gonzalez was a juggernaut and Priest Holmes was just crushing people and how good you guys were. Do you see that kind of parallel there where it's about getting the ball to playmakers in space, maybe less so about the outside wide receivers? Again, they're much worse than you guys are or were at that point. But do you see kind of that parallel?
You know, there is some parallel with that. And I think that was something that we always pieced together. You know, Eddie Kennison was our leading receiver during those years. He had a couple of 1,000 yard seasons, but you know, never had that big breakout what you're seeing now, the 15, 16, 1,800 yard types of seasons. We spread the ball around. You know, we had Dante Hall, who was, you get him the ball in open space and he could make guys miss. You know, we sprinkled in Johnny Morton from time to time. We had him for a couple years and some other pieces over the years. But it was, it was mainly dominated by Gonzalez in the middle of the field and Priest Holmes coming out of the backfield. And you get the defenses to focus on that. And then when you had your opportunities to take shots outside. So I can see where those parallels come into play.
Trent Green on Grant and Danny, an analyst for the NFL on CBS. He's going to be on the call Sunday when the Steelers take on the Colts. You can also catch him Mondays throughout the season on NFL Monday Quarterback on CBS Sports Network. The Steelers have righted themselves. Early this season, it was a struggle. They had some ugly losses. But if you just look at the midway point, and maybe that's the better thing to do instead of being reactionary sometimes, they're 6-2. They've outscored their opponents by 36, and they've got a handled division on the rest of the North. It seems like they're right where they want to be now, as you call their game this weekend, Trent.
I would think they are. You know, I think every team, you have some growing pains early in the season. You're trying to piece everything together. You have to remember Le'Veon Bell didn't participate in any of training camp or any of the preseason. Martavis Bryant was just coming off of his suspension, so trying to get him in there. Juju Smith-Schuster was, he's a new guy. He's a young guy, just trying to get acclimated to the offense. And you know, I think there was some growing pains early on, and it's hard to say growing pains when they're 6-2 and they're leading their division by a couple games. So everybody would love for growing pains like that. But I think coming out of the bye week, they're going to be in a much better place. I think they understand what they have defensively now. I think early on in the season, the offense was used to being the offense of old, where they had to go out and score all the time. Now that they've reached the halfway point, they realize how strong their defense is. They've put together a heck of a unit on that side. Some of those young players are starting to emerge like they had hoped they would. And I think coming out of the break, they're going to be a much better team in terms of just understanding that overall team concept.
Trent, let's go to the bottom end then of the AFC. The Colts can't get out of their own way at this point. This Vontae Davis situation where they wouldn't put him on the injury report for all these different weeks, and he thinks he needs surgery, but their team doctors didn't say so. The Andrew Luck mismanagement. Can you remember anything kind of like this, an organization that's just shooting itself in the foot and then claiming that it's not a shot in the foot, that it's something totally different? I mean, they're having some problems there in Indy.
They are, and it's hard to believe. They were in the AFC Championship game in 2014, and that's really when everything kind of started to tumble. That's when the whole Deflategate thing started, right? And that's really when you start looking from an injury standpoint. 2015, Andrew Luck missed a number of games. Tried playing in 2016. He got through 15 games, actually put up some good numbers, but that shoulder never was right, had the shoulder surgery, and now ultimately has been placed on IR. All kinds of issues along the offensive line. They tried addressing that. Grigson was let go. They brought in a new GM after the draft, so there's going to be some changes. You have to look at what they've been able to go through and what they're doing defensively. The fact that they were able to pull out that win last week against the Texans says a lot about this team and about the character of the team. It's just from a player standpoint, the number of guys that they have injured and the depth of their roster hasn't been good enough. So there will continue to be changes as the Colts move forward.
Trent, every time we get you on, and it's probably once or twice a season, I always like to kind of take your temperature as a quarterback who evaluates quarterback play on Kirk Cousins. The Redskins are 4-4. They played the toughest strength of schedule in the league at this point, and they've had a lot of injuries. What do you make of what he's doing in his third year on a kind of show-me one-year contract?
You know me, and like you said, you and I have talked about this. I'm a Kirk Cousins fan. I've been a Kirk Cousins fan now for three seasons, and the fact that he's putting up the numbers that he's putting up, you mentioned the fact not having a lot on the outside, focusing mainly on the inside passing game. Three of their starting offensive linemen have missed time, a good chunk of time. And so he's been taking a lot of hits and withstanding it, firing it in there. And so I got a lot of respect for him. He's handling himself well. It hasn't been an easy situation. I think everybody wants some security. I know some of it this year had to do with his own choosing in terms of not signing the offer that was on the table. But I think he's a long-term quarterback, and I've been saying that for a couple of years. So I've just been impressed with how he's handled this year, with the number of injuries, number of changes, and they've still got him in position. It's just it doesn't get any easier with Minnesota and New Orleans, both of them leading their divisions, and then the fact that they lost a couple games to Philly early in the season. They've got to win these division games as they come up here in the second half of the season.
Trent, are there a team, maybe even two, three, whatever you'd like, that you've kind of got circled that's they're not in it now? Like if the playoffs started today, they wouldn't be in it, that you think are poised for kind of a second half down the stretch type run? Maybe one of these teams lurking at 4-4, even 3-5. Is there somebody that you like?
You know, as I'm just kind of glancing through and looking at those teams that are in that position, Atlanta jumps out because they're 4-4, and yet they just don't look right offensively. And I know, Shanahan left and Steve Sarkisian's the new offensive coordinator, but you look at the weapons, the running backs they have, the receivers they have, obviously last year's MVP and Matt Ryan. I mean, you just keep waiting for that to get clicked in. So probably Atlanta is the one that jumps out there. I'm just trying to, Washington, I would say that the problem that Washington has is they're 0-3 in the division. And so with Dallas ahead of them and Philadelphia just rolling along right now, in order for Washington to get in it, they're going to have to, they're going to have to beat Dallas the second go around, and they're going to have to hope that Dallas stumbles a little bit with Ezekiel Elliott. It looks like he's going to miss the next four games. So hopefully, from the Redskins standpoint, that can be where they can catch Dallas, because I don't necessarily think both wild cards will come out of that division. So they've got to get hot here. And then Oakland could be a team that can get hot, just because they haven't done much offensively. And you'd like to think that at some point in time, once again with the weapons they have offensively, to get rolling.
Grant and Danny with Trent Green here on 106.7 The Fan. Always enjoy having you on the show. Enjoy the call of the Steelers and the Colts. We will be watching.
Hey, I appreciate it, guys. Always good talking to you. Take care.
Thanks so much. Always good to have you back in D.C., even if only on the radio. Grant and Danny on The Fan. Let's get into the Redskins and the Vikings. First time today in detail next. About an hour and 15 into the show before we get to it. But better late than never. Redskins win if what happens. Redskins lose if what happens. Skins Vikings, your calls at 800-636-1067. Next on Grant and Danny.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.